Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. And we are here every Sunday from at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. And we are also streamed live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. So we also link to our guests. And our guest today is Christy Whitman. She's the author of The Art of Having It All. It's a woman's guide to unlimited abundance. And Christy, thank you so much for joining us here on the program.
I'm so excited to be here with you.
This is, yes, it is geared towards women, but I think that I think we can say that anybody who wants to, so to speak, have it all. And I'm going to start by asking you, what do you mean by having it all? What is all?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question because there's a definition that we all have to understand. It's literally what you want in your life and what each aspect of your life, whether it's your body, whether it's finances, your relationships, where you feel like you truly have joy and appreciation. So for some people, they could call having it all, you know, having a husband, having a wife, having children, having a great career, having money in the bank, healthy body, you know, that whole thing. For others, some people don't want to have kids. And that for them, having that freedom is having it all. So we kind of all have to define it for ourselves and talk about what having it all is not.
I know that when The Secret came out, which is kind of what we're talking about in terms of the law of abundance, if you will, or law of attraction, I guess, is a better term to use, that I was even talking with some people who said that there was a piece missing from that. And that was that they didn't actually define what it was that we were looking for or why we were looking for it.
Yes.
And I'm thinking that in this context, we might want to maybe talk a little bit about that because, all right, maybe there are some people out there who are still interested in having 10 cars in their garage and a giant 47-foot or 6-yard TV screen and on, and the list goes on of all of the stuff.
Right.
And when we talk on this program, it's usually not about the stuff.
Right.
It's usually about the relationships. It's the connections. It's the movement, if you will, of the energy and so forth. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So a couple things. Yes, The Secret was a great beginning. It was a great, it's almost like the way I like to equate it. It's like stepping into kindergarten and then expecting yourself to be a master student. There's so much more. And I think the Secret was a wonderful thing because it helped birth more people to the understanding that there are universal laws and had a lot more people wanting to learn more and dig deeper and literally become more of a deliberate creator in their lives. So for that, yes, it was a secret, the be-all, end-all of manifestation? Absolutely not. So there, just wanted to address that. Yeah, we kind of have it backwards as a society, and I talk about this in The Art of Having It All, that we think that if we go get the stuff, and by stuff, I mean the kids, the husband, the car, the, you know, body, the jewelry, the house, the yacht, the whatever. When I finally get this, then I'll feel whatever it is.
I'll be happy. I'll be at peace.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have that success. I'll finally feel like I'm enough. I finally feel like I'm fulfilled. And we have it backwards. It's an outside-in approach instead of the inside-out approach. And so the inside-out approach is when you feel that fulfillment, or you feel that joy, you feel that peace, that contentment, then the things that vibrationally match what that essence and that feeling is, then those things also come into your reality. Doesn't mean you don't take action and that you do things in the physical world, but it's an inside-out approach instead of trying to effort and go for things and try to get the things to make us feel a certain way.
There seems to be a bit of a disconnect with this message and the great American dream.
Right.
Because I've always heard, not necessarily from my father, who gave me some of the best advice I've ever had, and that is be sure that you find a job you love doing because you're going to be doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I got stuck. This is my father saying this. And he didn't really. I mean, I have had a great opportunity to talk with him over the last year or so. And man's 83 years old. And I've been asking him about what it was that he really wanted to do. in his life? And did he sacrifice in having six kids and so forth? But you hear this message about the great American dream. And I don't know whether it's a chicken in every pot and two cars in a garage, or if that's it, or if you just work hard enough. Well, there are those out there who are sitting there with that message rolling through their heads, and they're going, I'm 40, 50, 60 years old. I have worked hard all my life. Where's mine?
Right.
And they feel like they've been cheated.
Right.
They've been left out. And you hear these phrases of the 99 percenters and the 1 percenters, mm-hmm. that whole dynamic that's yeah. going on. It's a battle of the classes all over again.
Right.
And I'm curious as to how you talk to people about that. What is it you tell them, I don't know, to wash away that old message that really doesn't serve us, doesn't work, and was never intended to work? It was just a line that we were given.
Well, you know, it was a belief. And like I talk about the art in The Art of Having It All, we literally create from our beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so as children, if you think about it, we were raised in our environment. Our environments raised us. And what was the environment? It was the beliefs of our mom and our dad, the interaction, the relationship between them and all the other kids that were, you know, seeped in this garden, so to speak. So we were planted in this garden. This particular garden said, you got to work hard to make something of yourself, and, you know, all the other beliefs that came with that. And that was true for them. And I'm not saying that I don't work hard or that I don't, you know, take a lot of action doing what I do. But when you start applying this information and you realize and you start literally not just making, like for me, for example, I'm physical Christy, right? But when I connect with that non-physical, the universal laws, I am now connected to something so much bigger and greater than myself that there's so much more potential than just me, physical human being, Christy, can accomplish and achieve in this world. Because I did the outside-in approach. I did the hard work and push and make it happen. But you know what? It's exhausting, and it doesn't have to be that hard. But we all have to shift our paradigm in believing that, because if you believe that you have to work hard and push, that will be your reality. And that will be, you know, like you said, where's mine? You know, I work so hard and nothing ever happens. That's a belief. We get this belief. Maybe our dad told us that, or our mom told us that. And then we get it as a belief. And then we see evidence of it. And we go, see? So that makes it more of a solidified belief. It's literally the glasses that we see our life through.
Mm-hmm. How did you come to understand this? What obviously, I would venture it was a gradual process. So where did all of this begin for you?
Well, about 18 years ago, you know, I was looking at my life and, you know, the ways that we measure success. I was looking at my body, which was 30 pounds overweight. For me, I'm teeny tiny. So 5 pounds makes a big difference. 30 makes a huge difference. I was about $65,000 in credit card debt. I quit my job because I couldn't stand doing it anymore. It just drained the life out of me. I had followed a bad guy, my last bad guy, from Chicago to California. I always seemed to pick the wrong kind of guys. Happened to end up in Northern California at the time for this wrong guy. And didn't have a support system, family around me. I was totally alone. And spiritually, I was totally disconnected. I felt lost, alone. Every aspect of my life was not working. And I literally lived in a room in a house because I didn't have anybody I knew that I could room with, and I couldn't afford a house. So it was like the pit of my life. And I'm like, you know, it's like that's the point when sometimes people get on their knees and go, help. So the one person I did meet was my hairstylist. And she told me about a woman that taught her about meditation. And this woman had such joy just exuding from her. I'm like, I want what she has. So she introduced me to Melanie. And Melanie taught me about meditation. And she didn't have the language back then of this is, you know, law of attraction, or this is the law of sufficiency and abundance. But what she did have was an understanding that your thoughts create your reality, and that you're either repelling things from you or bringing things, attracting things to you. So I started paying attention to my thoughts, and it was a scary, bad environment inside my head. So I started changing little by little about the criticism that I had of myself and the judgment that I had of myself and others. And slowly but surely, things started to shift. I started to drop weight. I got recruited from a headhunter in Sacramento, California for Pepsi-Cola. So I got this great high-paying job, met this wonderful man. I was in an eight-year relationship. I mean, things in a very, very quick way started shifting around. So the more evidence, of course, like with a belief, the more evidence I saw that, hey, this is working, something's shifting here, the more I was willing to do the inner work and shift those things that kept coming up that didn't feel good.
Okay. We're all individuals, but we're all human beings, and we're all unique in our own ways. And what I've been experiencing in conversations on this program is that people will share the techniques and all of the things that they did to get where they are. And you're beginning that process with us here. And what I'm starting to get is that, great, that worked for Christy Whitman, mm-hmm. but I'm not Christy. I didn't have the experiences, the beliefs, the relationships, and so forth that she had. So what makes me think that Christy's techniques are going to work for me?
Well, here's the thing. These are not my techniques. They are universal laws. So they work for men or women. If you live in California or Canada, it doesn't matter. They're universal. So they completely changed my life. And so people started asking me, well, what are you doing? And so I started teaching them about the universal laws, mm-hmm. and then their life completely changed. These are universal. These are things that literally needs to be taught to us when we're tiny little kids so that we understand. It's kind of like knowing the rules of the game. Mm-hmm. Hey, Richard, let's go out and play a big game of baseball, but you've never seen the game being played before. You have no idea what the rules are, so go try to play. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're given as kids or even as adults. You know, it's like we don't know what the rules of the game are. So these are universal, and they work every single time for every single person.
And I kind of put that point forward when we talk about even and we get broader subjects like we'll throw in our conversations about the economy. And I will raise the question, well, who says that it has to be this way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because it is this way doesn't mean it's the only way.
Right.
Or relationships or job. I said early on in my career, and I mean so early, I was only in the business for maybe a year, year and a half. And I told my boss, I says, you know, I really enjoy doing this. I mean, if I could survive, i.e. live with my parents kind of thing, and do this for nothing, I would.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing this so much.
Yeah.
And I was told, oh, no, you don't want to say that.
Yeah.
Because he'll try to pay you next to nothing.
Right.
And some would take a look at the old pay stubs and say, and he did. Paid you next to nothing. But nonetheless, I managed to view that. And look at it from a different perspective, because I had people coming in that I was training who were my I considered them my coworkers. They weren't mm-hmm. my employees, but there were people who would come in and I would train them to do the kind of work I was doing, and I would say, okay, now we need to here's some of the tasks that we have to do. Well, you guys don't pay me enough to do those tasks. Wait a minute, when you signed on, you knew what it was we were doing, and I remember hearing a news story. About Motorola at the time. I mean, it was probably 1985, 86, 87, something like that. And that they were laying off about 100 people because that particular plant had lost like $1 million in materials, right? And the thought that occurred to me was the employees were pilfering from the employer because they didn't think that the employer was paying them enough. So they were going to get theirs. And I remember that story and the attitudes of some of my coworkers. And I thought, well, okay, I'm getting a paycheck, but I'm also getting this great opportunity to interview people. I get the books, I get the CDs, I establish these relationships. So I'm getting paid from other sources that I didn't think of. And I'm thinking that when I broadened my perspective on it, I didn't go down that road of bitterness towards the employer.
Right.
And I never have.
Well, that's great because you're applying in that situation the law of sufficiency and abundance, because the law of sufficiency and abundance is not law of abundance. It's law of sufficiency and abundance. So it's looking at what is in your life right now mm-hmm. and finding all the positive aspects of it. And then looking towards the future and looking, you know, at what's coming about, that, ooh, this is going to be fun and this is going to be great and I enjoy doing this. But in the moment, it's looking for what's right and good instead of what's bad and wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's define some more terms here. Abundance.
It's just literally like so much of all good stuff. The universe is completely abundant. When I think of abundance, I think of nature. So, you know, go to the beach. You cannot count how many ounces of water are in that ocean. You can't count how many waves crash up against the shore. You can't go to a golf course and count all the blades of grass or look on a starry night and count every single star in the sky. Our universe is always showing us evidence of abundance. So the universe literally was birthed from abundance. There are so many, like there are more galaxies in the Milky Way than we even know that is out there. Mm-hmm. It's just pure potentiality. So our universe knows abundance. If we are in lack and limitation in our thoughts, our beliefs, our, you know, actions, everything, you're going to get an abundance of lack mm-hmm. evidenced. You know, mm-hmm. but if you believe in abundance and you align with the feeling and the expansion of abundance, you get more evidence of abundance. That could mean money, of course. It could mean love, support, freedom, opportunities, clients, you know, the list goes on and on.
Sufficiency.
Being happy and satisfied with what you have in the moment. Finding what's the positive aspects. It's sufficient. It's enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when we start taking a deeper look within ourselves, and this is, I think, where we'll dive into the whole conversation about meditation. I have no problem sharing this, that I deal with an issue of hypertension, high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And they've taken all the time. Every year, for the last couple of years, I've been monitoring very closely. Last year, my blood pressure was up and the readings were in the high normals. This year, my new physical numbers are down, which is great. Blood pressure is coming down. I'm taking a medication for it. But it's interesting that none of the indicators from a strictly medical standpoint are really focusing on or are contributing factors, you know. And of course, I told my doctor last year, I says, and they're not going to be, because I know that's not where the problem is.
Right.
The problem is up here in the head.
Right.
You know, in the terms of the way that I deal with the outside world. And so meditation has been suggested. I mean, I've been hearing about it for decades.
Yes.
It's nothing new.
Right.
Have I done it? No.
Yeah. Well, you could have the best product, but if you don't apply it or use it, then it, you know, it doesn't work.
True enough. I moved to the beach. I live here in Santa Barbara from Phoenix. I went from one sandy area to another, but at least now I have the shore
yes.
that I can go to. I can actually walk to the beach
yes.
For lunch and what have you. So that's it's a great feeling, but I haven't been able to get down there nearly as much in the last year or so as I would like to. Now, on the plus side, okay, from a medical standpoint, numbers are good, numbers are down, they're closer to normal ranges, pressure's normal ranges, but I still haven't taken that other step. So when we talk about meditation, I know a lot of, you know, the conversation surrounds, there's confusion about meditation. What's it for? What am I supposed to get out of it?
There's so many
benefits. How am I supposed to do it?
Yeah.
Where am I supposed to do it? How long am I supposed to do it? And when I'm done, what am I supposed to have accomplished, kind of thing?
Gotcha.
I can say from this standpoint, because I truly do believe this, that no matter what the form of meditation is, and I don't want to necessarily pigeonhole this, but my observation is, again, from a guy who hasn't done it, is that meditation, if nothing more, will allow you to hear that inner voice.
Yes. That's one of the many benefits.
Right. But the instruction, the information, the guidance, if you will, from that inner voice, it's there for a reason.
Absolutely.
Now,
we all have it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have to meditate to hear it, but
it's a way of getting there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And meditation has so many other benefits because it kind of calms the monkey mind that tells like, you know, run, mm-hmm. spin faster, that yeah. sort of thing. It does. It creates such a peace in our body and it calms down our system that it literally helps us out of that fight flight, you know, mm-hmm. kind of situation. It literally allows stress to just melt away because now you're feeling that peace and alignment. So it helps with stress. It helps with because you figure if the body is at ease, you mm-hmm. know, the disease is a body that's not at ease. So when we meditate, when we connect with a bigger part of who we are or even that our inner being, there's a sense of connection. There's a sense of being at ease. And it does make room. You are allowed to make room. You're allowing room for that inner voice to come through and to guide you. So instead of, you know, call this person or take this trip or, you know, go here or go there. That's how the art of having it all actually is birthed. And we can talk about that in a minute. But when you trust that inner voice that really is coming from inside of you and you learn to develop a relationship with that part of you and you give room, and meditation does that. It gives that voice room to be present. Your life is less effort because you don't have to do as much. I think Jack Canfield, I'd heard him say one time that 1 hour of inner work is worth 7 hours of outer work. Mm. And it's actually, there was, you know, metaphysics have actually proven that when you take the time to do the inner work, so affirmations, meditation, and I do want to say this too, there are thousands and thousands of ways you can meditate. You could just mm-hmm. go by the beach and watch the ocean and just feel the waves and focus on the waves. You don't have to sit in a lotus position with your hands a certain way with mm-hmm. a candle and go om. I mean, mm-hmm. that's also a way too. Mm-hmm. But just by, you were talking about going to the beach, you know, just by watching the ocean and just feeling the rhythm and the energy of the ocean, that's meditation.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about, I do love the phrase, the monkey mind. Mm. It's a great phrase. But when you talk about the monkey mind and getting past that chatter, a lot of people struggle with that because they think that they've got to quiet the mind.
Right.
When in reality, I heard it put this way, and I want to hear your perspectives on this as well. You actually want to go ahead and let it just do what it's going to do. But you become the observer.
Yes.
Don't get involved.
Right.
Okay? Don't get involved because then you get involved.
Right.
Let the thoughts just keep on
flowing.
Going past.
Flowing. They flow in, they flow
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And eventually, you almost have to find a way to befriend mm-hmm. the mind.
Absolutely. When you can send love and light to your thoughts, if you have a negative thought, sending love and light to them, it transforms the thought.
Instead of saying, shut up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to meditate
right.
here.
Go away. You know, exactly what you said is that we understand that we are not our thoughts. We are a human being mm-hmm. that has thoughts. We're
right.
not our thoughts. And so many people get caught up, especially when they first start, you know, doing meditation or even learning about self-actualization, they think they're their thoughts. They think that what they're saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start questioning your thoughts, that's just a thought. It's not the truth of who I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to continue to deal with these issues. I've been involved in, at the age of 17, I started what I called my search. And it was into metaphysics and spirituality. And I've been interviewing people on this area since I was 19. And I'm now 54. And I'm still doing those things. And I keep thinking that I am going to vicariously just assimilate through osmosis all of these wonderful things. And there is a certain level of assimilation.
Sure.
There is, always. But there is no substitute for the actual practical getting down to doing the work, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've done a lot of stuff. I've been through some personal growth programs and development and so forth and so on in the 80s and early and in the 90s. Not so much in this past decade, but nonetheless, it's there is no substitute for getting in there and, so to speak, getting your hands dirty. And you're only dealing with yourself. And I discovered something very interestingly just before we go to break. I used to think that I had to find this place somewhere on the planet that no one has ever been. And if I could just find that place, and then every time I thought I had found the place, just thinking about it in my mind, every time I thought I had found it, I realized, oh, wait a minute. If I find it, then so will others. I think, case in point, for example, not that I found this initially, but there was a place in Arizona called Sedona, a very spiritual, metaphysical place with vortices and on and on and on.
Absolutely.
And it used to be a nice, quiet little community. Mm-hmm. I remember going there in the 80s and early 90s. I wouldn't want to get anywhere near the place now because there are just so many people. There's so much growth and everybody has found it.
Right.
Then, and I wish I could remember who it was that I was talking with, and it finally clicked. There is a place, but it's not out here.
Exactly.
And nobody else can get to the place within oneself.
Yes. Exactly.
It's like, why did it take so long? Well, forget about the why.
That's the looking outside. It's the outside-in approach instead of the inside-out approach. You were looking for something to give you that sense of fulfillment outside of you, and you thought it was a magical place and nobody else knew.
Book, technique.
Exactly. It's within us. It's within us. It's always been within us.
We're talking with Christy Whitman. She has a book out that is called The Art of Having It All. I want you to stay with us. We're going to tell you where you can hear her more, get more information about her and the work she's doing. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan with Christy Whitman in studio. She is the author of The Art of Having It All. It is a woman's guide to unlimited abundance. Now, you focused on women. You're a woman. Makes sense. But you're not, this isn't exclusionary.
No.
It's just, when the men's movement really became real big, you know, especially with Tim Allen and, you know, his comedy routine, you know, the guys and getting together, and people used to criticize him for being anti-woman.
Right.
And it's like, wait a minute. No, he's just promoting the fact that guys need to get together with guys sometimes.
Right.
And that's what you're promoting here in the so to speak, in the reverse, that women need to focus on themselves.
Well, Richard, I never have ever heard of a man or the debate, can a man have it all? Men just assume they can have a family, they can have the career. It's never a question for a man.
Yeah.
But there's this big, huge debate, can women really have it all? And if they do, they could have it all, but not all at the same time. You know, there's no question for men. So men can definitely benefit from this book, but the book was written for women because of the fact that there's this debate. And I have created this movement where lots of people that in this industry, the personal development industry, experts and speakers, and have come together and said, of course you can have it all. And guess what? We all define it differently. We all have to decide what it is for ourselves. Having it all is not doing it all. It's not about reaching a level of perfection. It's not just something like a diploma. Okay, check. I got that check. Okay, now here's a diploma you put on your wall. Look, I got it all.
Yeah.
You know, having it all is literally having all of you, having access to all of who you are as a being in this body, having it all moments all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so having it all for me could just be cuddling in the morning with both of my boys, you know, and just feeling the love that they have for me. That's like a having it all moment.
Yeah.
You know, it could be being on a great date with my husband. That's, you know, and sharing and talking and connecting. That's having it all for me. It could be being here in the studio with you talking about deep stuff. You know, that's having it all for me.
Yeah.
We have to look for those having it all moments, and those moments make up our life.
Yeah. I remember conversations that I would have when I was working in Phoenix for the Christian radio station, and we'd get into conversations. And I remember hearing the passage time and time again from the New Testament about, you know, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, in that context. And I always wondered, what do they mean by perfect?
Mm.
And I finally realized that it has nothing to do with being right or wrong, good or bad.
No.
It had to do with being complete, but complete as you are
right
now.
Yes.
And when I finally came to that realization, I realized, oh, that's easy. Well, in a manner of speaking, it's easy. It's easier than being right or wrong or good or bad.
Right.
It's just being.
Yes. The being that each and every one of us are, you know, we all are in this physical body here on Earth right now. And that there's such a perfection in that. There's a perfection in all the total divine. And there's nothing can change or add or take away from that. But we think of perfection in our humanness as the perfect body or the perfect look or the perfect house or the perfect car or the perfect husband. That's the perfection we need to let go of. Mm-hmm. And just come back to the perfection of who we already are. There's nothing wrong with any of us.
Right.
We're all here. We all got the job. We're all souls in a physical body here to make manifest what we decide we want as we define it as we want it.
I want to go down a little different path for just a moment in that vein, because there are people who don't feel that way in their own skin.
Mm-hmm.
In their own gender.
Yes.
Or maybe in their gender, but with their own appearance. Mm-hmm. They're uncomfortable for whatever reason. And that they feel that they need to make some literal physical changes in order to feel whole, to feel, again, perfect.
Right.
You wouldn't counsel somebody not to, would you?
You know what? No, I don't counsel anybody and give advice. What I do as a coach, as a law of attraction coach, is I bring people to the place within themselves that has all the answers for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's very different between like therapy and psychology and coaching, for example. Coaches ask the powerful questions to allow the person to go within because, you know, a lot of times we don't ask ourselves the questions. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I say to somebody, well, what is having it all for you? What is that? What does that look like in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, huh? You know, it's like kind of like the dog with the ear. They're so used to focusing on what they don't want and what they don't have that they stop dreaming and stop looking for actually what would that look like for me?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if something feels good, like if a woman wants to get breast enhancements, great. If that feels good for you, there's no judgment on that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But if you think that breast enhancement is going to give you the happiness you are seeking, again, it's an outside-in approach. Instead of feeling that fulfillment that you want to feel within and then go get a sex change mm-hmm. or a breast enhancement or do whatever.
Yeah. It's really very interesting. And I used to have a problem with people who would go in for plastic surgery thinking, like, what is your problem? I mean, come on. You know, it wasn't so much that you're defiling, you know, that divine being that God has created you to be, but it was more it's kind of a waste of money and time and energy. And what if the risks that maybe they're going to outweigh what you think you're going to get in return? I mean, we've heard of some of the sad disasters that have happened. And I've, over the years, begun to realize this very thing that we're talking about now, that if that's what this person needs to feel comfortable, you know, and there are people who struggle with it all their lives.
Yes.
And it isn't even a question. So, and I wonder if it really is a question of being happy versus just not feeling quite right.
Yes.
I mean, it's not about happiness or peace of mind in that sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Someone doesn't like their nose their whole entire life and they don't feel quite right and then they go to get a nose job and then they're like, yeah, now I feel right.
Yeah.
You know, now this feels more like what I want to look like.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. The thing is, I want to bring up another universal law and it's the law of allowing.
Okay.
And, you know, that the times that we are judging or criticizing someone else and can't understand why a Bruce Jenner would go and become a woman, you know, for example, or a Kanye West would jump on stage and have the opinions that he has. I mean, you know, there is so much contrast in our world and there are so many different opinions and behaviors and ways of thinking. And, you know, we can sit there and judge and criticize other people, which sometimes it's very easy when it's like a Kanye West, for example. But when we do that, all we're doing is hurting ourselves. We're not hurting Kanye. We're not hurting the person that's having a sex change. We're not hurting the person that did something else. We're affecting our own vibration.
Yeah.
And so when we judge and criticize, you know, we may not approve of what the person is doing, but mm-hmm. we can certainly accept that, well, it's just this person being this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way it doesn't affect our energy, because the minute we start, you know, I remember I always laugh at my mom. She's, you know, 78, so she's very old school and, you know, doesn't like when Jennifer Lopez wears long, you know, short mm-hmm. dresses and, you know, or cleavage
revealing,
and all that.
Yeah.
She's very, very conservative, very,
yeah.
you know, Catholic woman. And I remember in the 80s when Madonna was doing her thing, she'd be like, oh, she's a pig, you know, and I love Madonna. And I love her, you know, craziness and her leading edge where she's been and what she's done. And at the same time, my mom judging Madonna only affects my mom's point of attraction and vibration. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to understand. We can look at a star or look someone on the internet and start having like, oh, psh, you know, criticism and judgment about them. It doesn't affect them. It affects
yeah.
us.
Yeah. I heard a line many years ago that when you point a finger at someone else, you have three pointing back at you.
Exactly.
You know, same kind of thing.
Exactly.
So The Art of Having It All is the title of your book. And people can find out more about you, about the book, about the work, the coaching that you do, and where do you want them to go?
Well, they can go to ChristyWhitman.com.
Of course.
And they can put in their name and email, and they get 7 free videos on many of the universal laws that we're talking about. Or they can go to TheArtOfHavingItAll.com. And when they pre-order the book right now, they get the PDF, the audio, and the actual physical book sent to them.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I know that in the 21st century here, in our high-tech age and just the new media models that are coming out, it's unbelievable what can be made available these days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it used to be, and I still have, bookshelves and containers under the house filled with books
yeah.
going back decades. And I love holding on to a book, and I love being able to read through and gather information in that regard. But it's also really nice to have that audio.
Yes.
But I've also found a nice little feature on my smartphone that if it is specifically in this case, a Word document, it won't do it with a PDF, I can actually have my phone read it to me.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I actually threw in, I forget what the document was, and I actually just happened to find the feature. And all of a sudden, I have this female voice reading this document to me. And I thought, I like this now. If I can just get, because I've got a couple of books that are in PDF format, and I know there's a way to convert them to Word documents and so
sure.
forth and so on. But it's just incredible how we're able to do this.
Absolutely.
And listen whenever we want, in privacy, which is nice
yes.
in some instances. When you began this whole process of learning about the law of attraction and these universal laws that are out there. You obviously ran into your own resistance to them. Oh, this will never work for me. This is not for me. This is not the direction I'm supposed to go. Or was it just a full open embrace? I don't care what the monkey mind says. I'm going down this road.
For me, I was so much pain that I had to think differently. I had to believe in something else because what I was believing in certainly was not working.
Okay.
So for me, I just went, okay, I'm gonna fully, you know, if this is true that our thoughts create our reality
mm-hmm.
and that we are, you know, the person that we are the beings that can literally create what we want in our lives by our thoughts, by our energy, by our emotions, I'm doing this. And for me, it was like, boom, things started manifesting quick, quick, quick. But the beauty about this whole beautiful journey is today, still, after 18 years, I got a wonderful, passionate marriage, 2 amazing, awesome kids. I love the body that I'm in. I've got a multi-million dollar business, money in the bank, you know, the whole shebang. Great divine spiritual connection. I'm always still going inside and working on some blocks. You know, it's like I reach a different level in my business, for example. All of a sudden, there's that saboteur that says, we're comfortable here.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, we all have that ego, and the ego is there to protect us, to say, don't, no. You don't want to do that because that's out of the comfort zone. So stay here where it's nice, and let me
yeah.
just sabotage it a little bit. And so it's up to us to be, you know, in control of the mind and to realize and recognize when the patterns show up and then be able to say, no, that's just a pattern. That's not who I am, and be able to break through that. But each time we up-level to a next level or we birth a new desire, whatever is in our way from being a vibrational match to the desire that we want to fulfill, it's going to show up and it's going to go, hello, need to let go of me. You're not a vibrational match here. So when we let go of it, when we get into a place of abundance and allowing, then we rise up to that level of vibration. And then what happens is the universe, by law of attraction, brings us those situations, circumstances, the man, the husband, the kid, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. You sort of associate with an interesting crowd, as it were, because in addition to the personal growth, self-help, and so forth, because you deal with the outward appearance of a person. You deal with the outward, I don't even want to say appearance. Let me change the word to presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And that can encompass a lot of different things. When we talk about the higher things of life, the more spiritual things, that aspect seems somewhat irrelevant. Where's the relevance? Where's the connection from your perspective between the inner, the higher, the spiritual life, and that outer presentation?
It's always connected 100% of the time. There's no disconnecting it. We are both physical beings and non-physical beings. Actually, what I discuss in The Art of Having It All is that the physical meat suit that we actually are in this world is only 4% of who we really are. 96% is that non-physical connected to God, Goddess, all that is the universe. And when we can combine the connection internally between the inner and the outer, so the physical and the non-physical, that is a beautiful co-creation. It's a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I'm wanting to manifest anything, it's not like physical Christy, like I used to, goes out and manifests something. I look at what I want to manifest, and I'm like, okay, non-physical partner, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's me being in alignment with me and me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's in every aspect, in my relationships, as I parent, when I work out and how I eat. I mean, just all of the aspects, I'm guided by that connection. Is it perfect 100% of the time? No, I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my practice. And that's what I put myself in alignment to meditate or do my affirmation. So I feel that alignment in that connection. That's where the inner work, that's where the application comes in.
What kind of connection or reception and or participation do you see from your boys, your husband, your close friends, your business associates? Because obviously this isn't something you're keeping secret.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, it's funny. I want to say something about that really quick. You know, when I'm in a funky mood and when my vibration is a little bit lower or I'm feeling a negative emotion, my whole entire outer reality is reflective of it. Like, I could see my kids are crabby. Mm-hmm. They're becoming a little bit harder to handle. My husband's off. And the minute I switch back and I raise my vibration, I let go of whatever I'm holding on to, the boys are real cooperative. They're more loving. They're more fun to be around. There's less whining. You know, the husband and I are connected. So everything is a shift. And even as a parent, you know, I've been talking to my kids since they were able to understand anything about law of attraction. And I'll still say stuff to them, like something bad happens, I'm like, that's law of attraction for you kids, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give you an example. When my family finds money on the road or a street or, you know, wherever, we have this little celebration that we do, and we like find a coin or something. It's like, I am abundant, doopy doopy doopy. And so we've been singing that, mm-hmm. you know, with our kids for a long time. And so one day, Maxim, my youngest, found a quarter, and he's like, oh, excited. And he starts singing the song. And then Alex, my oldest, he was just like, ugh, like, that's not fair. And he was upset, you know, that he didn't have it. And I said, here's an opportunity to practice law of sufficiency and abundance. You're in lack right now. You're thinking what you don't have, but instead celebrate what Maxim does have, and you soon will also be able to find a coin. Mm-hmm. And I thank God the universe like totally supported me in that, because very shortly after, he was like, okay, like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, because it would have been a harder lesson for him to learn if he's like, I've been looking and I can't find anything.
Yeah.
But he was like, okay, Maxim, I'm really happy for you. Good for you. And then like a short while later, he found a nickel. You know, so it was like he was just the same mommy. It works. And I'm like, because you're in abundance. You weren't in lack. So, you know, languaging is really important.
You know, I used to ask this question at the end of the program, but it seems appropriate now because of what you're talking about. And the power that we have from more of the spiritual, the higher inner part of who we are, mm-hmm. rather than the outer, that these kinds of manifestations, you don't have to wait hours or days or weeks or months or years.
No.
You could, if you developed these techniques, make them happen instantly.
Instantly. Can I share a story with you? It still made me giggle. I love Jennifer Lopez, and I was seeing, you know, I was thinking about her one day when I was driving, and I was thinking about, she's always so fashionable, and I love, you know, the way she always has these just amazing outfits on, and I was just, you know, driving, and I'm like, I would love to see what her closet looks like. Mm. It was just a thought, you know, that I said to myself. Hours later, I just happened to be sitting down on the TV, you know, sitting down on the couch, and I turn on the TV, and my kids are in the other room. I don't ever turn on the TV at this particular time. I don't watch this particular show. I just happen to just feel like, you know what? I need a rest. So I sat down, turned the TV on, and it was amazing. Extra has this thing with Jennifer Lopez inside her mansion. And what does it show? It shows inside her closet. I'm like, I just said, it was hours ago. I wanted to see the inside of Jennifer Lopez's closet. And here, Extra is doing this like whole thing on her. So even stuff like that can manifest so easy and effortlessly. And it's just such, I mean, it's not something that's going to change my life or make a big difference in the world. But for just an easy, like little intention like that can be easily manifest if we just allow it.
You know, a gentleman comes to mind as you were sharing that, James Redfield and the Celestine Prophecy, and how he talks about, and my favorite parts of the book were every time that the characters would end up in the pristine old growth forests and the energy that was there.
Yes.
And I think about the connection, because you mentioned this earlier, to nature.
Yeah.
And I am finding myself more and more using that matrix as the model for living. For example, you talk about the mindset, the beliefs of lack and not having enough. And I think about, for example, the stories we hear about the squirrels, you know, collecting nuts for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which winter? Only the upcoming winter.
Right.
Not four or five down the road.
Right.
Ants doing the same thing, gathering. By the way, I speaking of ants, I heard this very interesting description, and then it does apply to humans. When was the last time you spent time watching ants scurrying to and fro around their hill or from a location?
Actually, a couple weeks ago, because the boys, yeah.
Did you ever see a multi-ant pileup? No.
No.
Okay. And I have to say, as crazy as some folks are out there on the roads between the pedestrians, the bicyclists, and the cars, how few pileups we have, and yet you'd think that with the number of silly decisions made about what to do, when to do it, and where to do it, that you'd think we'd have more, okay? And yet we don't. And I sit there, I marvel, not just at the ants, but at the humans.
Yeah.
And the fact that, yeah, there are a lot of them. You listen to LA radio and you're going to hear about, who knows, maybe in an afternoon you'll hear 5 or 10 or maybe 15 different incidents happening. But out of how many cars that are out there and how many people that aren't really focused or they're in a mindset of, I got to hurry and I got to get there. And then others that are, I'm just going to take my time. I'm kind of tired. And I mean, just all of these things. And yet the network still seems to flow.
It's amazing.
You know, you have to marvel at
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely. It's perfection.
You know?
It's the perfection, yeah.
I loved that ant story, though, about, you know, when was the last time you saw a multi-ant pileup?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know? Because they're all focused on the same basic task of gathering.
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to nature as the model, I mean, I myself would love to find a hillside that I could dig out a cave and live there because it'll be cool in the winter. It'll be warm in the summer. Okay. I'd have to reinforce it so the roof doesn't fall in, that kind of stuff. But it just seems to me that that's where we could learn so much. And there are many of us that do. You know, and you don't work far from home, you know. I mean, animals, unless there's no food in their neighborhood.
I work in my home.
Well, and a big advantage.
Yeah.
But unless the food runs out in their neighborhood, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
They're gonna stay right around that cave or whatever their structure is. So the natural world is a great example of ways in which we can de-stress ourselves,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, getting out in nature and just watching a sunset or going to the beach, you know, in Santa Barbara, you're very lucky because you've got the beach and you can just go there and just literally for 5 minutes, just feel the power and the, just look, I love to look at the ocean and see that as far as the eyes can see, there is just an abundance of water and that's where the water meets the sky and then you see this abundant sky. For me, that is such evidence of abundance and you all have that here, access to that every day.
Sidebar would be, I ask this question, where does the sky begin? And it's, someone might say, well, it's up above us. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. What if there was someone that was 20 feet tall? All right. And you're saying the sky is above us. Well, that person who's 20 feet tall is living in the sky. So, you know, I mean, I don't know why this thought came to mind, but it's like we're walking in the sky.
Exactly. I was just going to say that.
We're walking in the sky. The sky starts where the ground or the earth ends. And as you talk about the horizon, I remember being on a cruise ship and I was up on the upper decks and looking a moonlit night and actually being able to perceive the curvature of the earth. And having two very interesting awarenesses. One is of how small I am in the universe. I mean, if I'd fallen overboard, you know, in the middle of the night, even a moonlit night, I'm out there in the vastness of that ocean you speak of.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
So
I want to say this too, because you said that, and my kids were asking me that too. Where does the sky begin? I said, the sky is right here. I mean, everything is energy. So you think about from where you're sitting to the wall, that is all unmanifested energy, you know, and from side to side. And the unmanifested energy is non-physical you. And because it's non-physical you, it's also non-physical me. So it makes you and I one.
Yeah.
So all of this unmanifested energy between me and the wall and you and the wall and the sides of the room is non-physical energy. That is you and is also me. And then there's you that's in your physical body, me that's in my physical body. So there's the individuality, but then there's the collective. Can you feel that?
It's like
we're one.
There's no separation.
No.
I even struggle with that whole aspect of it. It's all energy. It's all the same stuff when talking about the things that we eat and drink and the environments in which we live. And I understand from a strictly human standpoint the dangers of certain things to the physical body, but I'm sitting there going, but wait a minute, but it's all just energy.
Yeah.
So why should it make a difference? Why should...
you know why? Because we're meaning makers as human beings, and we've heard 100 times that sugar is bad for you, right? So we all have, you know, given these definitions, we are what things make us. If we were told 100 years ago and still to this day that sugar is the best thing for your body, we as human beings would somehow find a way to use the nutrients and to use it to be able to thrive from it instead of have deterioration from it. It's all beliefs. And we're that powerful.
And interesting. You know, and it's funny because years ago, I mean, even as I was growing up, I perceived myself as being so unique from all of humanity.
You are.
I wasn't, but that I wasn't going to buy into the messages specifically from the media. Okay. I wasn't going to buy into the messages, say, about sugar being bad for you. And I wasn't going to buy into the marketing and so on and so on and so on. And as I grew older and I got into my 20s and my 30s and my 40s, I began to realize that as hard as I tried to believe that, I was being sucked in by like everybody else. But my awareness was still there that that's just a message that I'm being fed. Well, then why did I buy into it? How did that happen?
You were planted in a garden and you were just soaking in every single belief and the energy around everything, your mom and dad's belief about sugar, and, you know, if you're a girl, what you can do. I love that Dove ad at the Super Bowl. You know, what does it mean to be like a girl?
Yeah.
You know, there's these messages. And it wasn't many years ago. I mean, it was just a few decades ago. Women couldn't vote. I mean, you know, it's like it's all there in the consciousness.
Yeah.
You know?
I have been interviewing in this past couple of months here in 2015 people who are trying to design and develop, some would say it's social engineering, and that's just a name to put on it, these new ways of living, these new communities. There's Jacques Fresco and the Venus Project out of Venus, Florida. There's a gentleman here locally. His name is Jack Reed, and he's working on building communities of around 500 people and using the concept of consensus in terms of resolving issues and dealing and building and so on and so forth. And, you know, and I think about what they're trying to do. And what we want to do and what we talk about on this program is that, you know, we're looking for those new ways of living. We're looking for a better life for everybody, not just a select few, for everybody. And it gets a little mind-boggling sometimes to think that there's another group of people really isn't interested in that. They want to keep things just as they are.
Well, can I share something with you? That my life has literally become almost like that, because the people that I now have in my life, they believe in the universal laws. They live the universal laws. They have that language. I mean, like my whole entire company has an entire community of people that live from that space. My friends, the people that I partner with, you know, the people, even, you know, my PR person, and just everything. That's what my world literally is, except for a few exceptions of family. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to this media conference, you know, I was thinking that everybody thinks like me, you know, I'm that's what law of attraction has done, is it brought more and more people that think like me and have that abundant mindset into my life. As I shifted, I attracted them. So I was at a media conference, and that's how the art of having it all came about. I went up to a media person and I said, "What do all New York women want?" And she said, "What?" And I said, "They want it all." And she immediately said to me, "I don't believe women can have it all." And it took me back. And, and she goes, "Do you know anybody that has it all?" And I said, "Yeah, I know a lot of people that have it all. Me, I know I do. You know, and I started rattling off how I have it all." And she goes, "I won't be needing this." And she hands me back my media sheet. And she goes, "Because I don't believe we can have it all." And I looked at her and I said, "There in lies the problem."
Mm-hmm.
So what that did is that birthed for me that even though I'm in my own little cushy, abundant, filled, wonderful life, there are still so many people out there that have lack and limitation from that perspective and have no idea that there's a better way to live.
There's a comedian who, Stephen Wright, who has a great line about having it all. He says, "If you had it all, where would you put it?"
Yeah.
You know.
But that's one definition, right?
Exactly.
Because like I talk about, you know, at a superficial level, can you have all the pretty shoes in the world?
Mm-hmm.
No, I've tried. Could you have all the money in the world or all the yachts in the world or all that? Yeah. No. And why would you want to? And why, you know, that's so superficial.
Yeah.
Then you have to look at your own life. How do you define that? What does it look like in every aspect? But at the core, diving really deep, having it all is a feeling sense. And what is that essence feeling that you really want? Do you want to experience freedom in all aspects of your life, joy, passion? Feel the essence, because it's there. It's available to us now, and nothing has to manifest or nothing has to change in order for us to have access to it right here, right now.
There's a great story I heard. I've shared this before. It was of two gentlemen who they were at dinner, at breakfast, and having a nice conversation, and it was really nice, and the bill comes, and the one gentleman looks at the bill, and he reaches in his pocket, and he pulls out the money for the bill plus a gratuity. And they leave and they go off and do their thing. And they get together again a couple days later for lunch and sit there and have a nice meal. And the bill comes and he sees how much it is and he reaches into his pocket and he pays the bill plus the gratuity. And then they go to dinner and same thing. The bill comes and he sees it and he reaches his pocket and pulls out the amount plus the gratuity. And his friend says to him, he says, you know, it's real interesting. Every time we've gone out, and this was just the three we're focusing on, but they'd done this many times. He says, you always seem to have just the right amount of money to pay the bill plus the gratuity. He says, yeah, well, I'll tell you what happened. I came across a genie, and the genie gave me one wish. And I thought about it for a long time. Weeks I spent figuring out what it was that I wanted. I could have asked for $1 million. I could have asked for this or that or the other. And finally, it came down to this wish. It says, I always want to have enough money to get the things that I need or want.
Mm-hmm.
No more, no less. So every time I reach into my pocket, the amount is there. Now, if this guy wanted an airplane, probably would reach into his pocket and pull out the millions of dollars.
Right.
Okay. And so on and so forth. But I thought, isn't that what the law of attraction is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have that power to decide what we want. We have the ability to manifest in our lives. There's a law of pure potentiality where any idea that we can conceive of, we can attract in our lives if we allow it. Mm-hmm. That's why the seven universal laws are really important to practice together.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, the number one law, people think it's law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
It's law of sufficiency and abundance.
Okay.
Because when you're in that place of this is enough, that I have enough, and yet you're aligned with that feeling of abundance, you're in an allowing space, you're detached, you're connected to pure potentiality, you're a deliberate creator, you're working with law of attraction because law of attraction is going to give you more abundance, and on it goes.
And maybe you can tell us if one of these seven laws encompasses this. I have believed that as far as the universe is concerned, there is always an exchange. I go back to my employers back in Phoenix when I first started in this business. And of course, the attitude that the employees came in with, and as I shared earlier, and that you cannot escape that law. The universe will see to it that there is an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be the way you think it ought to be, i.e., a W-2 and a W-4 and a paycheck. It may come in different forms. Like I said before,
right.
When I was working for the station, I had the opportunity to do the interviews, which is where I really, the groundwork for what I do today. I collected all of these books and the CDs. And the relationships. I even carried over some of those guests to programs that we've done on this program over the last 7 or 8 years. So where does that universal law of exchange come in?
You know, it really is law of attraction. What you give out, it comes back. It really is simply put in that way. And there's the law of allowing. People think that the opposite of giving is taking. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite of giving is receiving. And so there is a give and a take and a mm-hmm. give, you know, as a give and a receive, give and a receive.
And you've heard the phrase, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The only problem with that is, as far as, again, this the law that I phrase it, the exchange,
mm-hmm.
you can't have one without the
other.
No,
you can't. Try to take a breath out and out and out and out and out and out. You have to receive a breath in.
Yeah.
That is the basis of who we are as human beings. You know, first thing we did when we came out of our mom's wombs, it was like, we received a breath.
Yeah.
We didn't give a breath. We received a breath.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought about that.
And think
about
it.
And when we leave,
yes.
The last thing we'll do is give.
Yes.
That last breath out.
Yes.
Because the lungs can't hold it.
Nope.
If there's nothing to animate the body. I had never thought about that. That is, wow, that's profound.
Getting deep on a Sunday morning.
That really is very cool. Before we wrap up the program, a reminder that you can go to christywhitman.com. That's christywhitman.com. I am not going to spell this part out. The other website address, it's going to get you basically the same location, is theartofhavingitall.com. theartofhavingitall.com. And you can get all the information and take advantage of the offer as far as pre-ordering the book, getting the audios, getting the videos, the book.
The interviews, too.
The interviews.
150-plus interviews from top experts and celebrities on having it all.
Yeah. And then you can start incorporating this into your life. I'm not going to start there. I'm going to start with meditation. I think that would
just
be
just go within.
Exactly. Just go within. Go within.
Watch
go
the ocean.
There you go. That's
watch,
what I
watch
need.
Watch a candle flicker. That's
not a bad idea either. Either or. But before we wrap up the program, I have three final questions for you. Who is Christy Whitman?
I am a physical woman. I am a non-physical being together co-creating in this world. And my roles, you know, are I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a businesswoman, I'm a transformational leader. Those are the roles that I have. But I am a growth-seeking being. I'm here just wanting to create the best life that I can for myself.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want, that brings me to tears. I want more people to know, understand, apply, and experience abundance. Because this universe, and especially the country, and all other countries too, is so rooted in lack of limitation. We don't know how powerful we are and how deeply connected we are to the abundance that the universe has and who we really are. So the more people feeling, believing, experiencing abundance, the more abundant our universe is going to become.
I've often said when it comes to food that in spite of what we're told, or water for that matter, that there is more than enough of both.
Absolutely.
The problem is, or I should say the challenge is, the distribution. Well, you can use that same word, distribution, when talking about the abundance of the universe. But it's not some outside force distributing it.
No, it's inside.
It's us.
Yeah.
Who inspires you?
Oh, who inspires me? A lot of people inspire me, but my sons inspire me, you know, that to continue to be joyful every moment of the day. You know, I have people that inspire me, like Oprah Winfrey or Jennifer Lopez. You know, for Jennifer Lopez to go through the contrast that she's been through in many marriages and still find, you know, the inner love that she's looking for. I have a lot of friends that are in this industry that inspire me. And Abraham Hicks inspires me. Mm. Yeah.
A follow-up question to that would be, do you ever get your comeuppance from your sons?
Comeuppance? What's that?
Well, it's kind of like you're in that funky phase mood, what have you, and your sons will throw back at you the very things you've been telling them.
Oh, yes. I had that happen to me one time. I just had to laugh because I always tell them, you know, nobody can make you feel a certain way. And I looked at Alex and I'm like, you're driving me crazy. And he goes, Mommy, nobody can make you feel a certain way. You're choosing to be crazy. And I was like, oh, man, he got me busted. So, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've often found that, and unfortunately I haven't had this happen much in the last 15, 20 years, but I used to get a little bit big for my britches, and the universe would bring some event to humble me, to bring me down where I belong. So I've tried not to go up there much at all, if I can help it. I love what I do, and I've been told I'm good at it, and I enjoy it, and I'm so certainly grateful that you have joined me in sharing this time and your book, The Art of Having It All, here on the program. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard. It's great to be here.
The website, again, is ChristyWhitman.com. The other website is TheArtOfHavingItAll.com. And it is the book title as well. It's A Woman's Guide to Unlimited Abundance. For guys, pick up the book, too. It'll be a lot of fun for you as well. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.